In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents a show about everything with a conversation that matters. We are illuminating new paths for new directions as we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before with tonight's special guests, Drs. JJ and Desiree Hertok. This is Life Changes with Filippo, and now your host, our MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Thank you, Mark. This is so exciting. I am so excited to have Dr. Hertok and Desiree Hertok, both doctors, actually, on our show today. For many, many reasons, not only for the information that they've already provided in the world but and that they're going to provide here, but also because they were introduced to us by Mark, your good friend, and now I'm getting to know him well as well, Alan Howarth. And the interesting thing is I kind of feel kind of like when we were kids in school, which is actually a bad analogy because we're not kids. We're adults and we're smart and we have intelligence and we're using our brains. But kind of like the kids when we were kids in school, like if one of us would find out that the school was about to implement a new policy that they didn't want the students to know just yet or something like that, we would start to tell each other. We would pass notes around. We would scribble things or speak behind the lockers or whatever, and not, you know, so the teachers wouldn't find out that we actually know what's going on, blah 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 blah, and that what we've been told is not really true, and all this kind of secrecy which does not need to be. But the analogy came to mind because here Alan Howarth and Mark are talking, and they're like, you know, JJ Hertok is in town, and it'd be great to connect with him on the show. And then, so now we know that Dr. Hertok and his wife are going to be on the show. I'm talking to other people, like I spent the past couple of days with Foster and Kimberly Gamble and the movie Thrive. And Foster's saying, oh, I love them. You know what? Ask them about this and let them tell you about this. This is information that needs to get out there. So then I'm talking to Stephen Bassett, and Stephen says, oh, and you know, they just are working on this over here, and they just came back from this and this, and ask them about that. And then I'm telling Mark about this, and he's saying, well, you know, Eric Pearl, who we've had on the show a couple times, who we've actually interviewed live. And he's like, you know, that's how this all happened with him and his work. And somebody introduced Dr. Eric Pearl to The Keys of Enoch, which is the book that Dr. Hertok wrote, and that's so much of his whole reconnective healing is based on that. And it's like, that's right, he talks about it during his workshops. I remember him mentioning it during an interview. So all of these pieces, all of these people, and come to think of it, when I first met Dorothy Donahue, who's the producer of our show, she handed me this book and she says, this is the Bible. I mean, and it was The Keys of Enoch. And you know, Mark comes into our life and says, oh, that's my favorite book, kind of thing. And I lost my copy. I need to buy another one. So all of us are having this conversation. And the exciting thing is that now we're putting it out there for more of us to have this conversation. And there is so much information to present, and it's fun and exciting. Some of it, to me, has been scary. It's been weird because it seems like, holy shit, you mean all this stuff I learned wasn't real, or all this stuff was real, but it was not represented correctly or purposely misrepresented? Well, one thing I know is that our guests today are futurists. They're social scientists, among other things, authors, of course, both in their own right and together. And I know that they could share so much about the past and most likely more truth about the past than we even know. And I would love to get into that. But what I also know is that I can't change the past, at least not the way I'm thinking right now. But hopefully I can change or affect the future, my future and the future of many people. So what I'm hoping that in this conversation with these two brilliant people is to be able to, let's touch on the past, and let's talk about the present, but let's talk about the future and how we can affect it and how we could move forward. And that's, of course, unless we take into account that there is no past, no present, no future, and it's all now. And frankly, it is. And it's going to be right now as soon as we come back right after this.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. IonWays ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWays ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. And ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWays Water Systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWays Water Systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
I am so excited. I am Filippo, and my heart is racing. I think our collective hearts are racing, actually, towards what I hope is a real more joyful, more connected future, more aligned. And may it start here with this conversation with Dr. Hertog and Dr. Desiree Hertog. They are founders of the Academy for Future Science. They are social scientists and futurists. Now, Dr. J.J. Hertog is a remote sensing specialist and anthropologist and archaeologist who has written, translated, and published over 15 books. Together with his wife, Desiree, they have written numerous commentaries on the ancient Coptic texts, including and illustrating Jesus' work, and especially involving the Los Scriptures being found in the Middle East. And actually, I'm glad that they mentioned the Middle East here, because we're going to talk a little bit about Egypt. And of course, they are very well known, to Dr. J.J. Hertog, for the Keys of Enoch, and now their new book that's came out actually a couple months ago, Over Self-Awakening. Let me just leave it at that as an introduction and welcome you both, doctors, to the show.
Thank you, Filippo, for the great introduction. We're very privileged to be with you, to reach around the world at this most exciting point of waking up and really smelling the coffee that we are in living midst of a fantastic universe of life, of revelation, of scientific discovery.
Right, exactly. And we feel that people need to be positive. In fact, it's very sad when people only take the negativity, only see the negativity, because we can really make a difference for the future, both with our mindset, and that's very important, as well as just our actions every day.
You know, Desiree, thank you for saying that. And actually, it's interesting that sometimes we were just talking earlier, the three of us, that sometimes the future information can't come out because we are so stuck in our past information, like the work you all have done along with Alan Haworth in Egypt, right?
Right. A lot of the changes now taking place in Egypt will bode well for international teams of researchers working with what I will call the treasury of knowledge from Mother Earth, or because of other uncertainties would simply push back the opportunity for other research teams all over the world to understand that this is a great heritage for the human race that needs to be explored in greater depth in musicology. And this is the work that Alan Howard, Desiree, and I have been involved with for many years.
Right, so some of our work with Alan was actually comparing the pyramids of Egypt with the pyramids of Mexico in terms of the sound vibrations, the sound chambers, and I know Alan probably will come on your program and talk a little bit about this, but the idea is that there's a certain vibration inside the chambers, like the King's Chamber, that puts your mind into almost an alpha state. It gets you into vibrations that are on the lower ends of the hertz frequencies, and that's where you go into meditation. And it's very fascinating. This is Alan and other friends of ours, actually, because we've gone on a couple occasions, took these readings, and it shows that even beyond what the human ear can hear, there's a vibrational frequency that computers can pick up that show you that when you say something, it's actually resonating not upwards, but actually downwards into this, putting your mind into this meditative state.
So there's a musical design in the structure of the Great Pyramid itself, and we've seen this reflected in other pyramidal structures throughout the world. Even Russian physicists that we're working with have also made their small pyramids in Russia and find that the whole psychology of a community can be affected by the standing columnar waves that the pyramid can initiate if it's properly structured and built.
And some of that, we're referring to Ra, right? What you're all referring to as Ra, R-A?
Well, he took the sound frequencies, our studies that we did together, and he was able to say, okay, you know, what we say is A440 is kind of a synthetic identification, so everyone can tune their instrument to the same frequency. But he says that's not in nature. That's in some sort of instrument that everyone says, go to 440 and you'll get A. In nature, it's actually a different frequency, and he brings it down. It's a little bit lower than the 440, and he bases it on the research not only of our tests in the Great Pyramid, but also some mathematics with a certain friend of his.
So, again, the idea is to realize that we are all transformers. The keys of Enoch tell us we are biotransducers. We are energy collectors and transmitters. And we believe the Great Pyramids in Egypt, I'm using this pluralistically, along the Nile, as well as in other parts of the world, in China, even in Japan, in Mexico, in South America, all reflect the psychological understanding the ancients had of being able to allow the mind to work with the universal mind, to work with a greater source of energy, and to be more productive in terms of higher moments of creativity.
You've already just said so much in the past couple of minutes, and there's so much more we can talk about that, but we're gonna leave that for Alan when he comes on the show hopefully soon. So some of the things you've touched on and that I want to touch on is obviously there's a past here that we don't talk about, and some of us don't know it. And that's some of that you address in the Keys of Enoch, which is actually exciting because I know a lot of people are excited about the fact that it's out now in a new color edition, and it just enhances the whole experience because of the images in there. But let's talk a little bit about the past and the Keys of Enoch and how what we can learn from that in a nutshell.
Well, if I can go first, Desiree, you can go first and I can follow. The basic idea that the keys present is that everyone has a birthright to co-evolve and co-participate within the laws of the universe, and that human development can enjoy its greater birthright of multidimensionality once we free ourselves from the local paradigms and structures of knowledge. The keys present literally keys to open doorways or pathways of information whereby the past, present, and future can be realigned in a very special way of experience.
And actually, one of the things in terms of the past, there's a table in one of the keys called Key 215 that shows certain grid lines around the planet. And one particular grid line, which is at 121 degrees 27 minutes east, is a very unique place, and Dr. Hertak was invited because of this book to an area called Yonaguni, which is touching on Taiwan, but it's actually owned by Japan. It's in an area called Yonaguni. It's South Okinawa. And underneath the water, you actually found what they call castles and monuments, something that at one point probably people lived in and built, terraformed, and now it's sank underwater. This was fantastic to realize, you know, we talk about Atlantis, but there's also evidence of things going on from the Pacific area that shows that civilization had changed. And what does that mean for us today? I think everyone always has to ask that question. It means that people continue, that maybe the water levels change, maybe certain things take place on the planet, but we're still here, our civilization still continues and, you know, thrives in what it does. So we can't be in fear of these type of changes, but we have to realize they have taken place in the past.
So the sociological and the archaeological significance for the people of Japan and Asia is even with the changing dynamics of the ocean, that many island nations will go under the ocean as it rises more than a half meter even in our lifetime. They have a valid resource to go to in finding not only one structure, one pyramid, but several structures. structures in different parts of the South Pacific that show that civilization at one time had this ability to be seafaring, have a different vocabulary, and also connect with other civilizations on Mother Earth that shared the same mathematics, seafaring, language, and possibly astronomy.
And if I can hold your attention, actually on that same grid line is something else that was discovered recently, very, very fascinating, and that is on the Isle of Flores, F-L-O-R-E-S, is a group of hominins that they call Homo florensis, and they thought it was just like pygmies, or what they call little people,
hobbits.
But in actuality, they have determined it's probably a different species. Like the Neanderthals were a different species. Well, these Homo florensis were a different species. That means we probably had at least three different species of hominids on planet Earth at one point. And we always say, hey, if you had three, you know, of these on planet Earth at one point, think of how many people probably are in the heavens of types of intelligences that are different from us but still sharing certain DNA.
So this map is the only one in existence published in 1973 with the Keys of Enoch that show contact points with ancient evolutionary structures that would show us a much larger spectrum of evolution.
I'm so glad you said that, because doctors, I'm sitting here thinking, like my analogy that I made at the beginning of the show, how long, how many hours and years did I spend in school studying our history, which, and now, within just a couple minutes, you're saying that there's such a more expanded view, and somehow, this is the frustrating part to me, somehow I'm supposed to get and understand that when supposedly it took me 12 years of schooling to learn this other stuff. And now I'm supposed to, like, how do I just get this more expanded view as quickly as possible?
Well, it's very difficult, of course, for people who have a closed mind. But if you have an open mind, this evidence is getting out there all over the world, and scientists themselves are shocked at what they're seeing. And this is happening both on a microscopic level as well as an astronomic level. I mean, look at the whole idea of how many planets are circling similar stars out there. You know, in the 1980s, if you were studying to be an astronomer, you were considered kooky if you even said that there was a planet circling a star other than here. I mean, you know, of course, most of us didn't take that seriously. But they are having to make quantum leaps when they now see 6 and 10 planets circling, you know, stars, and when they find other planets that look very similar. I think recently they just came out last week with something that looks similar to Earth, but it's maybe twice the size of Earth. I mean, they're just taking these quantum leaps and saying, how does this really work? And, you know, do we have to redefine all of reality?
Over 350 Earth-type planets have been discovered through Kepler, through Hubble, through other means of pushing forth the envelope into deep space and beyond. So what we're saying is the Book of Knowledge, Keys of Enoch, is a blueprint, a vast and awesome change, and it is written in a meta language, which means it's a language of a language requiring a background in metaphysics or Kabbalistics or mathematics or music or astronomy or all of the above that you put together. Why? Because life is that way. We are multidimensional students of the universe. The Keys of Enoch are thus an expression of the ancient symbol of the tree of life with the many branches of knowledge. And the problem with over-specialization here in the West, reductionism and materialism in our scientific attitudes, is we've had a scientific enterprise that's been object-oriented rather than human-oriented. And we've missed really the big picture, and the Keys of Enoch are representing this big picture that we graduate into if we can see ourselves as being part of a universal process of knowledge, being citizens or universal participants in a dynamic universe full of life, teeming with life, some of which is now at our doorstep, hoping that we will smell the coffee or realize that life is more than just a short coffee break.
I like that analogy. And actually, I was thinking of yet another analogy, and that is it just feels like, you know, oh, your hand hurts? Here, let me cut it off for you. Well, now I don't have a hand. Oh, I didn't think of that. It almost seems like, did anybody think this through? Like, it's all so short-sighted, and now here we are looking at this in a more expanded way, but it just seems like, do I have the wherewithal to incorporate this? Is this in our DNA? I hope that something will enlighten and we'll be able to take it all in.
Well, Filippo, this is the whole premise behind the Keys of Enoch. You know, Dr. Hertak actually had an experience in the 70s, which is what brought the Keys of Enoch to the fore. And he was told that we were being augmented with all levels of science, from, you know, the microcosmic to the macrocosmic, so that we can be prepared for our connection with ultimately other civilizations in space. Because if we were didn't have the science, we could be little lambs of the slaughter, so to speak, or what Stephen Hawking says, you know, we'd be taken over. So we have to grow, and it's really a push, and we think it's a push not only for all the scientists on this side, but of course they're helping us get this information. Just to give you one other side is when they were talking on the TV about planets circling stellar systems, the woman who came on after that as a scientific spokesman said, oh yeah, and I'd be surprised if there wasn't life in space. I mean, that's a whole, you know, 360-degree, I should say 180-degree curve from what you would have heard 10 or 15 years ago. Now we're really excited because there's the Mars Science Laboratory that took off last year and should land in August of 2012. And it's the first time since Viking, which is from the 1970s, that they will be seriously looking, NASA and those who are participating, ESA and others, for signs of life on Mars. And we feel that there is signs of life on Mars. Whether they're willing to come out with it or not, we'll see. But it's probably the time. And so I think many of your audiences should be expecting that possibly before the end of the year, or at least within the next 12 to 14 months, that maybe NASA is willing to come forward and say, hey, on Mars, we saw evidence of microbial life. They're not going to see aliens or UFOs or anything like that, but microbial life that existed. So that will be a real shock, as you know, because we've never officially made that statement.
Mm. Or anything like that. As we finish up here, talking about the Keys of Enoch, Dr. Hertog, do you have anything you want to add to that about the experience and the creation of it and how we will be able to assimilate it if we keep an open mind, I suppose?
Have many film documentaries coming out, an avalanche of material, so to speak, that I've put together over the last 30 years with music of great music thinkers. We've had the privilege of working with Carlos Santana and others like him throughout the world, utilizing some of the sacred mantras or sacred language that elevates the sound structure of the keys themselves. We have a website people can go to, keysofenoch.org. But I would like to simply say that in terms of futuristic science, the keys were, I believe, the first document to use the terminology of zero-point energy in 1973. And also to advance the importance of the proton, which is now a fantastic aspect of research that many of your guests are talking about. I just want to quote what the keys tell us in Key or Chapter 113. Thus, the direct relationship between the size of the universe, the diameter of the proton, and man's or our human range of vision is part of a larger mass energy space-time transformation, which involves changes in our basic concepts of the known universe. So that's going on right now. We are putting together a new cosmology of consciousness as we speak, and this goes out worldwide. We're beginning to understand the importance of the proton and the global scaling structure of the universe through some of the most gifted thinkers in the new physics. And we're privileged to be here at the forefront with the opportunity to touch hands with people like you throughout the world who utilize the media as an educational tool constructively to engage the minds and imaginations of people to realize that this is not an end game of 2012. To the contrary, we're beginning to realize that this is rather a information stepping stone, a quantum change into taking back our cosmic citizenship and realizing that we have a true destiny in space.
Wow. This is mind-blowing to me, and you mentioned the website, so I'd like to go ahead and repeat that, keysofenoch.org. But for those who don't know how to spell it, Keys of Enoch, E-N-O-C-H.org. So Keys of Enoch. Future Science is where you can learn about the Academy for Future Science that was founded by both Dr. J.J. Hertog and Desiree Hertog. And that's futurescience.org, www.futurescience.org. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about how do we use the Keys of Enoch more to incorporate this information, how we go towards our destiny, and we can learn about that through the book Over Self Awakening, which is a new book by both Dr. J.J. Hertog and Dr. Desiree Hertog. And so we'll talk about that with them as soon as we come back right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
That is Life Changes, and this is Filippo on Life Changes with Filippo, having an amazing conversation with Dr. J.J. Hertog and Dr. Desiree Hertog, and I'm so happy and honored that they're on the show with us. Before the break, I mentioned a couple of websites, and I'd like to mention another one, and that's healthyplanet.org, and that's healthy with a with an E, not a Y. So healthyplanet.org, where you'll learn more about the power of prayer. I don't know how much we'll get a chance to talk about that, but between futurescience.org, keysofenoch.org, and healthyplanet.org, there is so much information there. You can also learn how you can get the books, The Keys of Enoch, and also the one we're going to be talking about more right now, Over Self-Awakening. Now, that's exciting to me because it applies some of that information that hopefully we could use to go forward. Is that correct?
Exactly. We wanted to correct the title of that website. It's Heal the Planet. Sometimes it's transcribed.
But it works so well either way, actually. That's a big name.
In the mind's eye. Heal the Planet is one that once you go to, and there you will be able to call up a great resource of things that we're doing throughout the world.
Well, actually, it's something that people can add their prayers. Like if you want to pray for someone or you want to pray for the planet, you actually can go on. It's interactive. You can put your prayer on there. And really, we've had amazing changes, and of course, especially when there's planetary change that is taking place.
Well, I have to say that I think, yes, indeed, and I'd love to talk more about that, but I have to say about the website, I thought it was just really clever, and because everything like e-network and e-this and e-that, and I'm like, wow, this is really clever. Health e-planet, healtheplanet.org.
It works. Okay, but that's a new book, and the new book is also for Heal the Planet, so to speak. It has 72 stages that we feel that most souls go through in their transformation from what we consider a physical body into a light body. And we feel the light body is our real goal, it's our real origin, that we really came from higher consciousness realms of being, and that, you know, how do you get back to there? That's what everyone's asking.
And so what is important here, Filippo, and the audience worldwide, is the book is illustrated with multidimensional pictures, I call cosmographs or cosmograms, that allow the person who's looking at the picture to expand like a tanka into a variety of directions. We have found in our research that the human mind only retains information for a very short period of time and often associated this information with a given school of knowledge. The trick here is to go beyond formal structure and to realize the the multidimensional awakening that goes with the ascension process. And so each of the picture allows the person to see universal symbols connected in very unique ways, structuring the physical body, the mental body, and the spiritual body to align with what the ancients called the triple power.
The triple power. You can't just leave it at that. Please tell us more.
Well, the triple power is the realization that there are actual vehicles of self-realization and self-programming that allow us to go beyond words. If we use words like Buddhahood or Christ consciousness, these are words that, you know, hang in space. To actually experience requires a different level of attunement and synergy.
Right, but basically the triple power is also connected with the basic elements of life, that other than the unity or the singularity, when you expand that out, instead of the duality, you get into the Trinity form, and we find even hydrogen is in three states. We find that water, and I know I loved your commercial on water, I do think that that's so important, that actually it forms a kind of pyramidal or triangular configuration with H2O. And as Dr. Hertak said earlier in the program, we have an associate, Alexander Golag, who is in Russia, and he built pyramids. They're quite tall. They don't look anything like the pyramids of Egypt. They're actually quite taller. And they're made out of very simple wood and materials. But crime rates in the area actually drop when he builds a pyramid there. I mean, it's amazing what this, we'll say, triple power or Trinity power does. And, of course, a pyramid, one could say, is a tetrahedral power or a square tetrahedral, as some people call it. But it's nevertheless that geometry that's innate within us and in the universe around us, and we think in part of higher consciousness, is principle for all the basic unfoldments of life.
What the Russians and Germans have found is that water is a great memory storage device. A new film documentary has come out by Russian and a European scientist where Konstantin Korofik explains how there is this type of pyramidal geometric form within the water molecule that may be the trigger for the storage process. Marcel Vogel, a dear colleague of ours at IBM Munst, was able to show this quite significantly many, many years ago. So putting this together on practical levels, we need to recharge ourselves by the understanding of how Mother Nature recharges herself. We need a positive use of science, which is a futuristic overview that will be constructive in realizing that we can create a positive future through our positive thought forms and psychology. And finally, we need a sociology of interconnectedness with all cultures and people who are going to graduate into this whole new cosmology.
That is quite an outline there of what we need, and it just from this point just seems so unattainable, and yet tools are here. And you're talking about one tool in particular that I don't know if our audience is really familiar with. I'm sure there was a time when somebody presented as somebody who was ill with a little tiny capsule of something and said, here, if you take this, you'll feel better. And that concept was new to them, and they just couldn't understand how taking this little capsule would make them feel better. Well, you're almost saying the same thing, and some people might not understand that actually looking at a picture could help us somehow. Please go further into that.
Well, basically, of course, it relates to sacred geometry. And everything within our body, which we're mostly unaware of, as you're saying here, is part of that sacred geometry. And we believe that if you can reinstate that through first consciousness, because you have to be able to, you know, process it in some way, and then by the physical form where you, you know, get back to your original state of nature and of consciousness, you're able to heal yourself. So in a sense, you know, medicine does that. We're not against allopathic scenarios, but you know, basically who we are is light fabric. In fact, we have an associate, Dr. Garayev, Peter Garayev, out of Russia, and he said that even the very basis of the DNA comes from a light frequency that can then manifest into physical form. And the whole twisting of the DNA is something that we're finding now in other places in nature.
So what does this mean? It means we can ultimately reprogram our own DNA by our positive thoughts and by our biofeedback attunement. And this is daily meditation. It's daily constructive or positive thought. It's the ability to look at life as a service to humanity and raising consciousness. It's looking at solutions. In fact, we have a motto of our academy called, there are no problems, only solutions. So we tend to look at the ability to bring people together who are creative, who can look at problems on the horizon, but also change those in terms of the inner energy structure that normally escapes one's physical attention. And this is why we emphasize the use of music and sacred language, because it attunes our body like a musical instrument, a biotransducer that comes alive, that connects with other dimensional frequencies of knowledge, begins to understand the man-god partnership, the keys of, or the woman-god partnership, the keys of Enoch speak of, that we are all working with a divine spark of the eternal present.
You know, using images, music, like you say, and other modalities here to heal us, to help us align, to help us grow and change our DNA. It reminds me of the other side of this, where there may be mantras and images that we look at, whether that's on TV or on film, and that we don't realize that that's affecting our DNA as well, just maybe not on the positive side.
Exactly. With the cell towers, with the what I call the electronic seance of negativity that young people are exposed to, you're going to see the sociological consequence of crime on the school levels, and we're going to have to reverse this. And I believe if we go back to reclaim the greater traditions of our ancestors who used music invariably to build a sociology of cooperation, if we attach that with the ever-present demands on how we can prioritize our time and assignments, as we can also connect this with a futuristic vision that is positive and constructive, then we have this ongoing understanding of our body as the temple of divine spirit.
And actually, that's one of the first phases or steps or chapters of our book, Over Self Awakening, because it introduces you to the fact that you are more than just the body, and that what is processing through you is thoughts. And like they tell you in quantum mechanics, that you have a multiplicity of thoughts that you can choose from, but many people prefer the easier ones or the closest ones to them, and that's usually sometimes thoughts of negativity. And, you know, we have all possibilities around us at all times, so a part of our work needs to be to process the thoughts of light, the thoughts of the futurism of humanity to help humanity, and that really can make a difference.
Wow. Well, you know, we all know in our circles so many people that are making differences, and it's wonderful to be here together having this conversation and expanding that difference that is being made and helping other people with knowledge that they could use to help other people, including themselves. You know, our producer Mark Leger has been sitting here on the sidelines listening to this whole conversation. I could see biting his nails and biting his tongue, wanting to interject at certain points. Of course, we're going to be talking during the producer's wrap, but he wanted to make sure that he could interject a question here. So, Mark?
Hi to both of you.
Great, Mark. Go ahead.
I wanted to step in for two reasons. One is to thank both of you, because without us having come together personally, you have had a profound impact on my life. And as I was listening to Filippo in the opening monologue, it became even more clear to me. You know, I've known Alan for years. My background is originally venture capital in the high technology space. I've always worked with very complex technologies and bringing those to the commercialization of products. And I always say that consciousness is just a really complex technology in its simplicity, of course. But the connection, you know, back then, Alan opened me up to so much with his work, and so much of my understanding started there. And then I was guided to and introduced to Eric Pearl and his work at shortly after we had started the show, and I'd gotten involved with Dorothy and Filippo here. So there's an intimate relationship I have with all three of these groups. But I wanted to thank you for that, and because obviously it goes back to the keys and the work that you've done. But I wanted to hear from you specifically. I know that there are, I believe it's three keys that deal with the reconnection, as Eric has coined that term, but our connection to reconnecting to that this higher spectrum of frequencies. You mentioned our ability to heal ourselves. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the keys as they pertain to reconnective healing and our ability to heal ourselves.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate your ability to see the connecting network that's being built through higher source material. And the key is that Ian and I do speak of these vibratory lines, which connect different levels of our human electrochemical body and the higher astrobiological circuits that we're beginning to recognize do exist. In a few words, you know, all of the keys are interconnected as this vibratory matrix of teaching. And as Dr. Eric Pearl said, if he could do so much worldwide with one key 317, think what he could do with the other 63. So each of the keys have a very special resonance for specialists in that particular area or arena of work, whether it's archaeology in Egypt, connecting Egypt with China and Japan and seeing a higher template of architecture that holds certain resonance patterns together, whether it's in psychology and metapsychology of recognizing, as the keys tell us, they're working with gravitational waves for information and transduction, or whether it's working with the God code, the DNA process of key 202 that tells us we are being shaped by a higher body of information that we have is this one phase of human reality that's ultimately connected with a multi-dimensional, non-localized process. So all of these things require a type of deep patience and humility to recognize the greater plan of transformation that we as a humanity are going through. And this requires, I think, a greater focus and a greater energy, particularly now with the economic changes, to put our higher priorities in human directions that make sense. And to that end, music media, especially multimedia, can help the mind, the human mind, see and extrapolate how the musical side, the geometric side of how the mind conceptualizes patterns of information, as well as the idea of a higher mind, which is a synthesis of both male and female side of the psyche, to think multidimensional structures and to apply them is paramount in the way we come up with a whole new language, redefine the scientific method, and actually redefine what is called scientific truth. All of this has come short of giving us really the last 3 yards of the games that are being played out by the powers that be.
And maybe just a moment to say what the whole thing of axiotonal medicine is all about. The concept being in Key 317 says that we are connected with the entire universe around us, and that when we align with that or bring those alignments into functional capacity within us, we actually can transform our physical bodies to be like they should be in perfect states of health and reality. And what's interesting is that there really is these codes of life, and we're finding them throughout the universe, whether it's in meteorites, which Goddard Space Flight Center just came out with, that's parts of our DNA, which is called the purines, or out in meteorites that they're discovering, which come from space, or something that just came up recently. It's called regenerative medicine. Some of your listeners might be aware of this. This is where places like the Brooke Army Medical Center has done research, and what they're able to do is use stem cells, which are just parts of, you know, cells that haven't differentiated, and they're actually trying to grow back limbs and fingernails and tips of fingers with muscle, and now they're looking at bone. They're doing it this year with about 80 subjects, and this is the Brooke Army Medical Center, to try to see if they can regenerate arms and limbs. And this is kind of what we're talking about in Key 317, where we have this divine blueprint within us, and it's just a matter of realigning it and bringing it back into life to perfect it, to heal one another.
Well, I'm feeling like we're realigning just having this conversation, and I trust that the audience feels that too. I want to, first of all, thanks, Mark, for that. That took us in a really great, well, they're all great directions, and we can go in so many more. I hope we have the honor of having future conversations together. I want to remind everybody that there's a new edition of the Keys of Knowledge, which has got color enhancements, and it just enhances the whole experience. And also the new book, which has been out several months now, Over Self-Awakening, which will help us evolve into higher states of our own beingness. God, I wish I could do that.
And also we have music to go with the Keys of Enoch. So for those of you interested, we have leading musicians throughout the world who have put their talent together. So each of the chapters or keys has a certain resonance frequency that will be very important for those of you who can scroll down to our music section there on our international website.
Yeah, and that's with, like you mentioned, Santana and a couple other people.
Let us move forward productively with happiness in our heart, with the vision of the stars ad astra, and the realization that a whole new cosmos is opening for our participation.
Indeed, indeed. And if you want to learn more about the work we've been talking about and about Dr. J.J. Hertog and Dr. Desiree Hertog, you can always go to futurescience.org or keysofenoch.org or healtheplanet.org and actually several other places. And we'll be posting up more information at lifechangeswithlipo.com. Just some two quick closing remarks from both you luminaries tonight.
Well, we hope that everyone changes their thought forms from the negativity of the end of the world scenario to something that shows the future is really of infinite splendor that we're a part of.
And realize that we are all part of a divine program. We have a divine spark that connects us with the vastness of creation that is just beginning to show itself, and we must be prepared really to make these quantum changes, knowing that we are part of what the ancient prophets and thinkers considered the Book of Life, the Bibliotheos, as it was called in ancient Greek. So December 22nd, 23rd, we ask all of you can come to Cancun, Mexico, to celebrate with us the day after the end of the world, according to one of the Mayan calendars.
We're going to be
working with leading thinkers, singers, and musicians from all over the world, and this will be a very joyous part of recognizing possibly what the Mayans point to in the sky as a coming sign of a whole new universal beginning. We thank you and bless all of you for this great opportunity to share it.
Blessings right back, and I like that. So we'll look for more information on your websites for that. Thank you both. Have a wonderful rest of the day and evening. Much love to you. And we'll be back with our producer's wrap after that exciting interview right after this.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
We're back. And we're different. Just from having a conversation.
I feel expanded.
Indeed. This is the producer's wrap with me, Filippo, and our producer, Mark Lejeur, after that amazing interview with Dr. J.J. Hertog and Dr. Desiree Hertog.
Well, this I couldn't be more excited. We had a show a couple of weeks ago about synchronicity. And the magic, you know, that happens when you start being aware of that synchronicity, and what a validation of manifestation this show is, and evidence and support for what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how we're bringing it forward. 11 years ago, when I had met my wife, I had she had given me Eric Pearl's book, and I didn't read that book at the time. And I went along my journey, and I read that book 2 weeks after meeting Eric, which, of course, as we mentioned prior, was long after my relationship with Alan Howarth had bloomed, and the work I did with him, understanding, getting to know the raw math, the raw music, the understanding resonance and frequencies, and starting to create some of my own theories and visions. And then, of course, being introduced to energy healing and frequency work through Dorothy and you and the energetic alchemy, and then the work that we've done with you know, then I was introduced to obviously Eric and the Reconnective Healing. So this all comes together as such a profound validation of what's happening and the timeliness of the information. So again, I couldn't be more excited because it all seems to kind of point back to the Keys of Enoch and everything that has been said about that work and what a cutting edge or what a obviously future science it is.
You know, Mark, that's incredible, and I'm glad you bring it up in that way because I'm sitting here listening to you and I'm thinking, wow, we're having this conversation with Doctors Hertog, the two of them, and they're leaders in this thought, evolution. And I remember just a few short years ago doing a completely different radio show and watching The Secret and saying, I want to interview him, I want to interview her, and not knowing any of these people and not knowing how to connect with any of these people, and all of a sudden I'm interviewing him and I'm interviewing her and her and him and him and him, all from The Secret and all these other places. And now last night I'm with Stephen Bassett and Foster and Kimberly Gamble, and they're talking about JJ Hertog and his wife and saying, you know, tell him this and talk, you know, just like I mentioned in the monologue. And it's like, wait a minute, a few short years ago I didn't know these people, didn't know how to get to them, and now I'm kind of like, you know, the bee that's kind of pollinating some of this information out into the world in mass consciousness through our show.
Well, yeah, and again, I mean, that's like I said, the validation of manifestation. If you remember to see you and raise you one email I sent you a couple of 2-3 years ago, I had, I think it was in 05 after we had trademarked the use of conscious content in my old company, when I was starting to formulate a desire to do what we're doing today,
right,
which is take this information and distribute it to the mass audience. But then I came up with an aha after Alan's work and back then, which the paragraph went something like this, which is that that enlightenment, that expansion of knowledge, is to occur through the creation and distribution of conscious content as supported by frequency and the laws of sacred geometry. And that's what I just heard Doctors Hertog say.
Right, right.
So again, what an additional validation of something that became so clear to me back then, and something I've been working so hard to do, and now realizing that we're doing it. That's pretty cool.
And I think my response to that email, I think I shared just a little bit of something that had come to me years prior, probably at around the same time that came to you, was to share the love energy through my voice. And here we are using our voice. And how many people say, oh, your voice, you know, I could listen to it all day. And I didn't understand things like that. So just like Dr. Hertog is saying, when we can get something out of a picture and we can get something out of the music, we can get something out of our voice.
Absolutely.
And it's coming through.
Well, it goes back to that basic premise of energy, light, and information, right? We are composed of this. You know, and I've talked about it in even simpler terms in the past of kind of my recognition of it was that we all agree that atoms are energy, and that there's space and energy, and so that we're just an arrangement of these of atoms. But yet we our ego, most of us don't stop stop there and then start to apply all sorts of rules to that. Whereas if you get back to that, all you have to do is rearrange the atoms, rearrange the energy. And that's when it's so exciting, when you start looking at the work that Doctors Hertog have done, and of course Eric Pearl and Bruce Lipton, A Biology of Belief, and they get into reprogramming of DNA and so many other aspects of how this really manifests and how thought form truly does manifest as this physical reality that we're perceiving. And you kind of take the seriousness out of it, and you start to have fun with recreating your life.
And that's when it's magic.
Indeed.
Well, actually, like you said, this show is an example of that. And this show then is then yet an example of something else. When I said during the show that it frustrates me that I don't know how to incorporate all of this yet, right? Well, I didn't know how to incorporate this show into my life at that time and how I was going to bring all these people together. I didn't know, but I knew I had the desire, and maybe I had the desire because it was part of my path. But obviously this information is part of my path because it resonates with me, and I don't have to worry about how to bring it in because it just is.
Well, and that's the thing, it's the hiding the how, right? The not having to know. And that's one thing that you're taught, is to let go of your control of the process and let it manifest, let it happen. And this is a perfect evidence of something that has to be by a higher design. The complexity of the synchronicity, the timing, the years of manifestation that we're talking about can only be by higher design. This is not something that you or I could have scripted.
No, and actually, even though I was doing a show that was completely unrelated, all of the information that I had been learning and studying all up until that point, to where I could say, I can actually have a conversation with that guy, because if I had, on The Secret, because I wouldn't have been able to have that conversation, even though the show I was doing was completely unrelated, I had the knowledge to be able to have that conversation.
No question. Well, that's the exciting part of this as well. I'm glad you bring that up too, because, so much has happened since we came together to put the show together, since you had the initial idea and we started on this journey wanting to share this discussion, and we're different people today, as we will be different people tomorrow. But the readiness to be able to have and connect these dots and be able to speak with people like Doctors Hertog at this level and actually get it, and as you mentioned,
get it and help others get it,
relay it in such a way that it isn't so foreign, right? That it is understandable, because more and more people, as the vibration raises, as the collective vibration raises, that puts their thought form, their resonance, into a place to where they can start to see, hear, and understand things that were foreign before. And maybe they won't get it at a conscious level right away, but at a unconscious level, because their consciousness is in resonance, they will feel it to be right and therefore be open-minded to hearing more.
I'm glad you said that, and it brings me right back to my monologue about, like, I feel like I'm in high school in a sense, and I do remember having this thought in high, it was actually junior high school. I remember thinking of the things that my older brother was studying, and how will I ever be able to study that kind of thing? Because it looked so hard. And I don't remember if it was my brother or I came to the understanding somehow that I will know when I get to high school or when I get to my senior year how to approach that. In the meantime, I just have to worry about what's in front of me right now. And here we are. So we're in front of each other right now, and we are allowing this conversation to grow and expand us, and I trust all of you as well. So thank you for being with us. Thank you again to Dr. J.J. Hertog and Dr. Desiree Hertog for being with us. I thank and appreciate my producer, Mark Lejeune, and my producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and always appreciate you. And our engineer today, Doug Newsom. So thank you all for being part of the changes in this world that we'd like to see, and for being part of our show. Ciao.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network, and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. Change the world. Now's the time. Now's the time.